I want to talk today about David's heart when he worshiped God. We'll skip the text and come back to it in just a minute. But I hope that you understand that the theme in April is about growing stronger in worshiping God with all of our heart. The whole theme for the year is being stronger. Let's not let all that's happened in being away from being able to worship together and as upset as our life has been. Why not make this a year where we really, really grow together? And so this month, let's determine, I'm going to worship God better this year, and perhaps not just this year, but onward from this year, than I ever, ever had. Now, does it make a difference how you worship? Yeah, John 4:24 describes this matter of worship. Jesus talking to that woman at the well. She's had a question about worship and trying to say, where do you worship God? And they worship God in one way in one place and in another way in another place. And she says, which one's right? And Jesus' answer is this. You need to get it. It's not that everyone is right. It is what is right. And he says, you must worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, underline that word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you cannot just create your own God and say, well, the God that I serve allows me to live any way that I... Oh, no, 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 no. That's what paganism is. You remember the golden calf? When they came out of the land of Egypt and they built those golden calf, built that golden calf, you remember what they called that golden calf? Tomorrow is a feast day unto Jehovah God. They thought they were worshiping Jehovah God with a golden calf. Isn't that remarkable? You can't just worship God any way you want to. Truth is involved. And the other thing is, you must worship him in truth, and you must worship him in spirit. What's that? The spirit is your heart. God is a spiritual being, and you are a spiritual being that has a spiritual heart, a spiritual soul. You have an eternal spirit, and it is that spirit that we need to work on. You want to worship God more fervently? You want to worship God and be stronger in your worship? Then just determine, one area I'm going to work this year is I'm going to get my soul in communion with God every time that we worship him. So today's lesson is really about this. How can I truly worship God? It's not up to us to decide. Well, just whatever is meaningful to you. You think that's in the Bible? What about the first time worship is ever mentioned in the Bible, when the two sons, Cain and Abel, sons of Adam and Eve, were going to worship God, and one of them did what God said, and the other one thought up his own way to worship. He was a farmer. What difference does it make whether you're offering an animal sacrifice or not? It will be more meaningful to me if I bring the fruit of my hands and bring them to God. You cannot worship God just any way you want to. That golden calf shows it, does it not? And that story about the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the very first time anybody ever worshiped, God rejected half of the worship that came up into heaven. It's not up to us. But we need to understand and find the way how we worship. Now, we're going to talk a lot about truth. That's another lesson. It takes it down another road. I want us today to talk about worshiping God with our heart, with our soul. How are we going to do that? Well, there's a man in the Bible by the name of David. David is described as a man who had a man after God's own heart. Wow. What kind of heart do I need to have? If there is a God, and if I'm coming into his presence, what kind of heart do I need to have? I thank God the fact that if we can discover the heart of David, we can drink deeply of the spirit that was within him and the words that describe his heart as he worshiped God. And then we can know that we're worshiping God with our heart, with our soul. We're not just talking about mechanics. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes right now. That's not praying. I may be saying a prayer. That's not praying. And even singing out loud is not necessarily worshiping. Worshiping God with your heart. The matter of giving. The matter of what's happening right now. Somebody says, I don't think his tie goes with that shirt. I don't like the way he doesn't button his suit coat. That's not what this is all about. This is the time when God speaks. And God may be trying right now to change your very soul. You may be here right now because God in His providence has brought you into this place to hear this discussion of what it means to worship God with our heart. David, what kind of heart did you have? Well, let's look at the words that describe the heart of David as he worshiped. David was not allowed to build the temple. He wanted to. In fact, he asked advice of the prophet Nathan, and Nathan said, and evidently spoke too soon, spoke without necessarily a word from God, and he forgot to say, if this is what was happening, in my opinion, go ahead and do it. He said, go ahead and do it. And as he left the place, God came to Nathan and said, get back in there and tell David, you cannot build the temple. Your son will, but you are a man of war. You've shed innocent blood, and your son, whose name is Solomon, and Solomon means peace, shalom, peaceful, will build the temple. But David was allowed to move the tabernacle to the city of Jerusalem. He'd captured the city away from the Jebusites, and that was the place where the temple was to be built. And so David was allowed to describe, or was allowed to move the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant and everything, to the city of Jerusalem. What'd you do, David? How did you set up the worship of God there in that tabernacle? What had to come about? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 describes this event. There were sacrifices that were made. The Ark of the Covenant was placed in the tabernacle. And then look at verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 16. On that day, David delivered first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank God. David opens up his heart. And there is that melodious, poetic psalm that comes out from the heart of David. And see, it's our heart. It's our soul that is the melodious part of our very being. You know, I think you can understand what I mean whenever you say there are a lot of things you do because you have muscles and because you have this and have all of that. But worship is that which takes place in your soul. And David says, you want to see my soul? And there are three times in the book of, in the Bible that David gives the psalm. I almost stayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and looked at that. But there are about 40 verses there, and I didn't think that was probably what you'd want me to do. But when he gets down to verse 26, now remember, he's written a psalm. And all of these psalms are not totally identical, but the nature of them are identical in the content. And so we're not going to look at the one in 1 Chronicles 16, but look at verse 29. Look at the powerful phrase that's used in verse 29. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bringing an offering, come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord in, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You and I need to understand that while David was not allowed to build the temple, we are allowed to look into that very temple, that David built. Let's look at that phrase, the beauty of holiness. Ever think about it? Come, bring an offering. come into the presence of God and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Let's take that phrase and develop the lesson. In the first place, emphasize the word us. Let us worship Him in the beauty of holiness. You begin looking at this psalm, and all of a sudden you see that people are involved. You think God needs our singing with a heavenly choir? You think our God needs our monies with all the gold and the silver there is on this earth? You and I need to understand the very honor of being granted an audience with the Almighty Creator of the world. There's a sense of awe, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, about the awesomeness of God. But it's not enough to just to sort of intellectually get to the concept of the awesomeness of God and then make this sermon that which is only external. I want your heart to understand that God, who is a spirit, gave you a spirit. Animals don't have that kind of spirit. And God says, you take that heart and approach me. Birds can sing better than we can. They stay on key so much all the time, you can recognize the call of almost every bird. They do it robotically. And God could have robotically made us like birds that migrate or birds that sing and given us the very fact that we could just use our body and do everything we've already done inside this assembly or any time we come into this assembly, and it would have been our flesh, it would have been our body, it would have been that part of us that is involved in worshiping God, and that part is involved in worshiping God. But if that is all there is, we are nothing but a robot with no feelings involved in the worship of God. We may sing every song. We may bow and listen to the words of every prayer. We may do all of the things that's involved in our worship. But you and I must understand and appreciate He wants us. God wants to hear your soul crying out to Him. And so throughout the Bible, the words sometimes we sing in the songs, I will call upon the Lord. How often is that found in the Bible? Page after page. And so we assemble. And the Lord longs for us to worship Him. Look at that text from Psalms 96, verse 1 through 9. O families of the earth. That's down in verse 7. Verse 8 says, come into His court. Verse 9 says, all the earth worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and tremble in His presence. God envisioned, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, when there would be a giving, where we come and give to the Lord the glory and the honor that is due His name. Bobo, you had no way of knowing what I was going to preach about this day in this sermon. But the very songs that you sang, the very selections that you made, I will call upon the Lord. And then a petition to God, Father, we love You, glorify Your name in all the earth. That's our soul pleading out with God. Let us worship Him. Let's emphasize the word worship. We've mentioned several times, David mentioned it in the sermon last week, of the Greek word, though this Old Testament is written in the Hebrew, but the Greek word so beautifully and gives a picture of what is involved in worship. It's the word pros, meaning toward, and kaneo, meaning to kiss toward God. Sometimes we talk about bowing prostrate on the ground and kissing the ground in the very presence of God. And that's a very heart, I hope, that we have when we come, and that we're humbly, not literally, but our heart is bowed before God and we're kissing the ground before. I love what Dan Winkler said in that sermon that was here about kissing toward. He talked about his grandchildren. And he says, you know, whenever the grandkids are leaving, they'll come and they will hug you. And then they get in the car, and as they leave in their car, they roll down the windows, and you know what they're doing? They're throwing kisses back toward Granny and Granddad. You know what we're doing in worship? Our hearts are looking up to God, and we're throwing kisses, God, toward you. This is the way we feel toward you. Look at the words in this psalm, Psalms 96. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Declare His glory. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news. Declare His glory. Declare His wonders among all the people. And then down at verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know what worship is? It's not three songs, and then, well, after that we'll have scripture reading, and then we'll have the prayer, and then we'll have another song, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper, and then hopefully Dan or David will preach, and hopefully it will end, and then hopefully we'll be able to get lunch instead of dinner. You and I understand? That's not what it's all about. We have come into the presence of God, and God looks down and... Cam, I owe this one to you. God listened to our hearts when we sing and when we pray. You know how different that is? We listen to our voice. Did I hit that note right? You know, am I really following the leader? You know, you understand? And we're so focused on the very nature of the music itself that we forget about the fact that He's a spirit and it is our soul that's crying out to God. And forget about singing off key and hear the words verbally described by Cam in that prayer about a month ago. God, as we sing, listen to our hearts. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. Your heart feel that as you were singing it? Did your heart really feel that when it's begged God to glorify your name in all the earth? And what about Jesus is all the world to me? Is He? Did your heart cry out to the God of heaven, I'm in your presence, holy, almighty God, and I'm here to prostrate myself before Thee and before your presence, and I am calling upon you, I am throwing kisses, I'm bowing in humility, but what I'm doing is an expression of gratitude for all that you, and I am singing. I'm not just singing songs. It's not just the music. It's the very depth of the words that are there, and yet so much of religion in America is tied directly to the music. Hear me. The appeal in so many churches is how good the choir is. The appeal in so many churches is the great soloist that we have. Who's the best singer in this church? Had to pick out the best singer. Who would you pick? Forget about Bobo. And forget about Gary. And forget about those individuals that sing, and we know that they sing well. The best singer in this church, when God looks down from heaven, may be somebody who didn't grow up in the church and hardly knows any of the words of the songs or the music of any of the songs that they sing, but the melody that is coming out of their heart ascends up into heaven from a heart of humility that's kissing toward God and says, God, that's the heart that's on key. That's the melody that God hears. And the best singer in the church is that individual who has that kind of heart. That's what David is saying. It's not about David. How well do you sing? How well do you play the harp? Hey, can you play the harp and sing well at all at the same time? It's not at all about David. David says, look inside me. There is within me my soul crying out, O God, O God, O God, help me. I glorify you. I praise you. Let us worship Him. I wish we had time to develop this aspect of this. Over in Psalms 29, where you find this expression, worship Him in the beauty of holiness again, talks about the power of Almighty God. It talks about the mountains that are there in the northern part of northern part of Palestine, and how those mountains quake in the very presence of God. Have you ever felt an earthquake? Have you ever seen the power of God manifested in the earthquakes? It talks about Him splintering the trees. Have you seen that tornado that's come through, or more especially those hurricanes that have come through and leveled entire forests? That's the power of our God. And we come in here and it's a matter of flipping, oh my God, I don't know if I'll, I don't even feel if I'll go or not. Shame on us for having an oh my God attitude toward the Creator of this world. That's who we're worshiping. You want to see the power of God? Think of the hurricanes that come through, and then think of the tsunamis. And we are in the very presence of the being that is that awesome. And we're trying to worship Him. Let us worship Him. Look at the words in that psalm, back Psalms 96. Declare His glory among the nations. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. The awesomeness of God. Have you ever been afraid in a storm? Ever been around a thunderstorm when there was lightning and all of that? Ever been out in the sea when a storm came up? Ask some of our members who were caught out here, you know, in the Gulf Stream. What's it feel like to be out in that place? And all of a sudden, the fear that overwhelms you. You know how little of the power of God is manifested at a time like that? But that's whose presence we are in. He's awesome. But don't be terrified of God. Be thankful that God stops the activity in heaven to listen to us sing this morning. That's what worshiping God with all of your heart, that's what's involved in that. Down in verse 9, he says, tremble before Him, all the earth. Oh, worship the God in the beauty of holiness. Can I talk to you just a minute? Can I talk to you about our worship in this place? We can do so much better than we are. Parents, we're missing it with our children. We bring them into this assembly, into the very presence of God Almighty. Look at that girl, listen to me. Little young girl, 5 years old, listening right this very minute and hearing what I'm saying. And she shakes her head, yes. Don't you dare tell me children cannot worship. And oh, how tragic it is. We miss that opportunity to teach our children. We come to the presence of God in the very time when they could see us eat the bread and drink the cup and see our hearts and how important this is to us. What do we do? Well, here, take my iPad. You don't play with that for a while. You don't have to listen to the rest of the sermon. You go ahead, take it. No, you go ahead and listen to it. Just go ahead and play with it. You know what? We're here to worship God. That's all right. get your iPad out. But it's not just children. There are those of us who are adults who do exactly the same thing. We come to the very presence of God, and though we can just dismiss God for about 3 minutes while I check to see if what's on the menu at the restaurant that I'm going to, or I find something real funny, and I lean it over and I show it to the person right beside me. Do you understand? You're in presence of Him who shakes the earth and brings earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes, and He's listening to your heart, and what is He hearing your heart say? And oh, our children need to hear and to see worship. And we're missing it. And the impact we have on others. If they walk away and they go away, and often they do, about how melodious our singing is, and thanks God for those who have worked and developed the abilities to lead singing and to blend voices together. But they need to walk away by saying, I've been in the very presence of people that were intense and intent about what was going on. They're in the very presence of God, and they mean it when they sing, Jesus is all the world to me. You want to improve? You want to remain the same Christian you were 10 years ago? Still worship in the same flippant sort of way? Or cannot we let this be the year in which we say, I'm going to really, really be intent on worshiping the God of heaven. And so here's Roderick. Roderick, how old are you? 8? 7? 7. And Roderick hears what I'm saying right now. And his little sister is hiding. Afraid I'll call her name. Sophia, you tell children cannot understand songs. Robert, Bobo, I called you Robert and you didn't even look up. I'm sorry, we're going to have to call you Bobo until you get back from school of preaching. But Bobo, when you sang that song, my mind went back to my dad, who died 50 years ago. He was not a song leader. Song leaders only sing certain songs, and the one song I remember my dad singing, Jesus is all the world to me. And I'm not talking about singing that song with my dad leading when I was a teenager, though that did happen. I'm talking about my dad up trying to lead a song. And the words, He's all there is in my world. He's my friend. You know why I stand here? Because I had a mother and a father who really taught me how to worship Him. And I owe the eternal hope of my soul to growing up hearing my dad sing his favorite song, He's My Friend. Folks, that's what worship is. And I beg of you, don't just stagnate. Be more intent. Listen to the words of every song and say these words to all the other people that are here, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what it's all about. And let's get our hearts in tune with God, the earthquaker, the tsunami maker, the hurricane wind. And we bow and we worship before Him. Tracy's not here, but isn't this the symbol for bowing? Isn't this the symbol in sign language for adoration? Oh God, we have come this day and every day, and we bow before you. And we proskuneo and adore you and give glory to his name. The older you get, if you work at it, the more meaningful and the deeper your worship will be. I worship God far more deeply than I did 35 years ago. And I beg of you, don't stagnate. Don't worship him like you did when you were 30, if you're 45 or 50 years of age. You work at it. And let's worship him in the beauty of holiness. You need to be a Christian. That's the end of that part of that sermon. We're going to sing this song of invitation. You pay attention to the words of the song. You need to become a Christian. How do you do that? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He that believes not shall be damned. It's what Jesus said. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You need to repent of your sins. And all that means you need to turn your life around. Quit being in charge of your life and say, God, I want to commit my life to you, to the Creator. But you got to make that decision. Luke 13:3 says, and if you don't, you'll perish. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confess that Jesus is Lord. And then one of the most wonderful things to experience is to be born into the very family of God. And you could do that this day. As he died and was buried and raised, so you can die to self when you repent. And take that sinful man and bury him in a watery grave of baptism. And be raised a new creature that is concerned about worshiping God with your heart. And how wonderful it is. He makes you a part of the body. His family. You need to do that today if you haven't done it. If you're a Christian who's wandered away and you need to come home, you could come and respond to this invitation also. Whatever your need, let it be known by coming to the front right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?